One, two, three, four.
It's time for Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Hey, Nick Cody's going to drop in very soon, which is pretty cool. He's just finished a gig and said, hey, can I come hang out in your radio show? And we're like, yeah, bro, come and hang out. This awesome. Is awesome.
Well, he can now bring the naughty stuff, and I think we're going to discuss the Paul McCartney revelations, Tom, regards to what he was talking about, what the Beatles, him and John Lennon got up to.
What they did in a dark room.
Kinky stuff from those boys. I mean, back in the day when they were a lot younger.
Today is a pretty important day, though, Ollie. It's called Are You Okay Day. Basically, what you should do is you should text your mates and go, hey, mate, are you okay? Just checking in, just having a chat.
Yeah.
It's a whole day about suicide prevention and checking in on mental health. You can go to areyouok.org.au for a bit more information.
And in the spirit of that, Tom, we're delaying the naughty stuff and we're having a chat to, one, a personal friend of ours.
Yeah.
I've known Lucy Thomas for a long time. She was an old boss of mine when I used to run anti-bullying workshops. She's also had some personal experiences that relate to Are You Okay Day, to battling mental health and to fighting off suicide as well. So we're going to have a really, I think, interesting and insightful chat with Lucy up next.
Stick around. Also, by the way, if you or someone you know has been having some negative thoughts recently, you can call Lifeline 13 11 14, but stick around. Lucy Thomas, not far away. Talking Are You Okay Day and mental health. Triple M's Tom and Ollie. We have questions. Other side, Red Hot Chili Peppers. Triple M's Tom and Ollie. We have questions. Nick Cody will drop in very soon.
Tom, for Are You Okay Day today, I thought it would be very fitting to get in a lady called Lucy Thomas, who, I'll give a bit of a backstory. She was the co-founder of Project Rocket with her sister Rosie, which is Australia's premier youth-led anti-bullying movement. Lucy's work has also been recognised by UNICEF. She was a finalist in the LGBTI Person of the Year Awards. And she's also advised Facebook and Twitter on inclusivity in social spaces. So, Lucy, welcome. I think you're a great voice to have on this topic.
Oh, thank you so much. It's great to have a voice on this topic.
Well, aside from all that, we're also friends. And I was a one-time employee.
Oh, yeah, you were.
You were my boss. we used to go around the country doing anti-bullying workshops.
I know. Wasn't that a time?
Yeah. And
isn't it strange? Because Ollie, on a daily basis, bullies me on this show,
yeah,
Lucy.
Yeah. I've heard you guys on air. Yeah, I've heard you.
It's all a bit of fun, Tom. You get now. You're right.
Good on you, buddy.
But... Lucy, one of the I think interesting things is that we were literally speaking to students in schools about bullying, about being more inclusive, welcoming all kinds of people into your world and having a good time and being good people. And you then had a personal story that sideswiped you. You ended up having a emotional storm, I guess, which led to PTSD, which is a full on experience. I want to ask you about that, but first up, Project Rocket, what was the initial aims with that?
Right. It's always intimidating hearing an intro like that, because when we started Project Rocket, we pretty much just finished school and really hated bullying, like so many young people. And we didn't intend to start an organization or a movement or any of those accolades. We just really wanted to be like seeing young people driving change for other young people on an issue that matters so much to all of us. And I guess we'd just really seen the way being treated like crap, I think is the correct psychological term, really stays with you and damages you from the inside out. And we just started thinking about, cool, if we actually address this issue, if we put it in young people's hands and build connection between high school students, by the time they leave school, they're going to be built up rather than being torn down.
Mm. And so what's the work that you've done with Facebook and Twitter recently?
So we're so lucky that over the years, with the rise of cyberbullying, unfortunately, that's fueled the growth of Project Rocket. We've also been really fortunate that social media for so many people has become a tool for reaching out and kindness and connection, especially for those who are really isolated when it comes to matters of mental health. And we noticed that the big social media platforms started paying attention to our work and actually started seeing that we were working, had an ear to the ground when it comes to what, you know, the user was experiencing. And we're working with young people every day. So they invited us to join their Twitter invited us to join their Global Trust and Safety Council, and now we sit on Facebook Safety Advisory Board and their Youth Advisory Board, which is really exciting. But ultimately, it's just cool because these are the platforms that people spend so much time on day in, day out without even realizing. We just constantly open up our phone and there we are. So it's really cool to be thinking about ways that we can be like leveraging kindness or support instead of just the hate and nastiness that can exist online to create a better community.
I recall that was part of the core message, was that positivity and like using the internet for good rather than for negative. Back when I was with you about 5 years ago, I reckon about a third of the content we would speak about with kids was online stuff. Has that shifted to become more prevalent?
Absolutely. I'd say that the workshops we're running the most these days are tackling cyberbullying specifically around the age of grade 5 to year 8. And once we get in there, you can imagine it's a pretty stigmatized topic. The minute you say you're there to talk about cyberbullying, you kind of get death stares from a room full of teens. But very quickly, when we start unpacking like the strengths of technology, the online world, that this is an avenue for people who may have been cast aside at school or don't have a voice to actually find it, that's when people kind of come around.
So then today being Are You Okay Day, and if there are parents in the car right now listening along, what do you think is unique about the young kids today and their experiences with mental health, mental illness, and what should they be doing for their kids?
Right. So to speak to the obvious, this emerging generation is more connected and more global than ever. And I think that comes with a whole raft of strengths. You know, they're incredibly engaged in critical thinking and ready to stand up for what they believe in. And when they do, they'll have support because they have an ever-present online audience. But with that also comes an ever-present online audience who can be prone to tear them down for entertainment, or where there's a huge pressure to be perfect, have a flawless curated news feed. So I guess the troubles go hand in hand with the strengths. And my advice would be to not throw the baby out with the bathwater, that I think that we have a real tendency when we see something we don't understand to want to shut it down. But, you know, young people are incredibly resilient in the way they're navigating their online worlds and pretty much can't do without it.
Yeah.
So it's an incredible opportunity that is wrapped up with a few threats.
We're speaking to Lucy Thomas, who is part of Project Rocket, Australia's premier youth anti-bullying association. Lucy, you had a bit of a tough time personally. I want to go to a couple of songs and come back and hear about that tough time, because I think speaking about it is so important, especially on a day like Are You Okay Day. By the way, get in touch with your mates, see if they are okay. And if you or someone you know has been doing it tough a bit recently, 13, 11, 14, Lifeline is always there, so reach out. This is a new one from Reading.
Wedding Ring, Tom, by the Screaming Jets.
Thank you, mate. Thank you very much. You're with Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Stick around. We have questions. It's Aerosmith with Love in an Elevator. Triple M's Tom and Ollie. We have questions. Very soon, Nick Cody is going to drop in from the movie The Merger. But to tell us about this story to do with Paul McCartney in a dark room.
Yes.
That'll be very interesting.
Tom, for Are You Okay Day, though, we're chatting to a dear friend of ours and an absolute professional and inspiration when it comes to young kids, particularly the work you're doing with Project Rocket, Lucy, which you co-founded. Thanks for hanging around, by the way. You've been working with schools, and the whole point of Project Rocket is for the last 10 years to empower students to stand up to hate and to bullying, and instead of watching and standing by. It's a great ethos, and I have worked with you, so I'm a bit biased, but it's great work you do, and the whole point is to ease the process of being in school and to alleviate bullying. And yet, ironically, you were hit yourself with bullying of your own that led you to have a really tough time, and I think it's a great day to explore that. Do you want to tell us what happened?
Yeah. Weird though, huh? Who bullies someone who started an anti-bullying organization?
Yeah,
like,
that is
that's
strange.
A bit crook, right?
It is strange.
Yeah. I remember it really well. I guess starting out Project Rocket, both Ro and I were really driven, as I mentioned before.
Your sister, yep.
By an incredible just desire to see better outcomes for people in school, for them to have charge of their own experiences and the way that they feel empowered to treat other people as well. And so that was our key motivation. People often ask, were you really badly bullied in school? And despite the fact that we definitely experienced hits and blows and I mean non-physical ones along the way, it wasn't the driving experience. But I guess a long time, fast forward 10 years after starting Project Rocket, I guess encountered a full-blown experience of homophobic bullying that for me came pretty much out of nowhere, because I'd understood my relationships in the world with guys or with girls to be what they were. Mm-hmm. Didn't anticipate in the year 2013 for prejudice and persecution to exist in the way that I experienced it. So I encountered from the family of and a young woman who I dated briefly some pretty stomach turning kind of allegations and persecution that lasted 6 to 8 months and saw me having my career threatened and going through court. And
I was working with you at the time, and I remember you putting on a brave face, but then finding out details weeks later and going, oh my god, that's harrowing stuff. You There was harassment involved, there was intimidation.
Yeah, I had to move house.
You had to move house because, like you said, bullying. And so what did that leave you feeling like, and how are you coping?
Yeah, well, I guess when you set up your whole world and life around a particular cause, and one is deeply personal and socially oriented as ours, and that's, you know, bullying, and more importantly, believing in a world where kindness and respect thrive over bullying. For me, it wasn't a matter of just going through a hard time. I really felt like my belief system kind of came crashing down a little bit, and it really revealed to me the way that, you know, we build our lives on foundations, whether that be through our friends and our family and our belief, and sometimes we go through times when those foundations come crashing down. And yeah, for me, it created a bit of a dynamic where the world no longer really felt safe for me. And yeah, I have recovered. It's an ongoing kind of experience, one of trauma, but yeah, one that I would say I was really saved from by Project Rocket. Weirdly enough, I found that every day I would be able to show up to school, and working with young people was just the most incredible medicine. I'd look into their eyes and realize the depth of experiences that high school students have every day and still get up and go on, and it's pretty incredible.
I feel like one of the things you mentioned there that's relatable for a lot of people is going through a tough time, and a pillar of your life, as you called it, whether it be your work or your partner or your family, if that falls down, that can leave you, you know, like a building losing its structure, that can leave you suddenly teetering. How did you navigate that? Did you have to reassess, or do you have to find strength elsewhere?
Yeah, I got help. And I can't encourage anyone who's crumbling enough to reach out for help. It wasn't really a choice I felt I had at the time. And I think that that's something that can make it difficult for people when they feel like they're just cornered. But that said, I accepted the help that was there and presented to me. And that's why I think it's so important that when we see others, and we're just not even sure how we can help, we still reach out anyway and offer that support. They might not even know how to ask for it, but it's just so crucial. Yeah, when the foundations are falling down around you.
And as an employee of yours and a colleague, you're someone who's very emotionally intelligent and so self-aware. So
it can hit anyone, can't it?
Yeah, that's the kind of the message. Yeah, anyone can be struck down by this kind of thing, can't they?
They can. They absolutely can. And I think in 2018 and the surge of, you know, campaigns and like trends that we've seen on social media, we're really seeing that it's become a place, technology, this place that where we see cyberbullying, is rife as well. We also see on social media, people are more and more able to be transparent about their experiences from all walks of life, you know, and through hashtags like Me Too, we've seen people have a solidarity of support that it doesn't matter who you are, you have that kind of global community behind you. And I think that that's particularly relevant for people who, for whatever reason, have societal pressures that prevent them from accessing help. I think in this country, suicide affects disproportionately men and, you know, who are absolutely at risk of experiencing anxiety and depression. And for a range of social pressures that exist in Aussie society, it's just so much harder to get that help. And yeah, I really want to see that issue change. It's too many of us have lost someone in our lives, and it's just got to change.
Lucy, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us about your story. Are you okay? It's three simple words that you can ask your mates, ask your loved ones. And on the Are You Okay website, areyouokay.org.au, they say, how do I ask someone? They've got four simple tips. You ask, you listen, you encourage action, and then you check in afterwards. And those four simple steps can really save someone's life. If you're someone you know has been doing it tough, 13 11 14 is Lifeline, and they're always here to help. Lucy Thomas, thank you so much for coming in.
If I could add one last
please,
thing.
Please, yes, absolutely.
Today is Are You Okay Day, but tomorrow the day is over and we won't be on the radio talking about it. Yeah. I encourage you to follow up with this people that you've spoken to. Having recently in the past year lost a dear friend of mine to suicide, I knew that these issues were on his mind and he battled from time to time. And that's why it's important that we regularly check in with each other, especially those who might not be able to ask for help. So yeah, the day ends today, but the question can continue throughout the year. Yeah,
so true. Absolutely. Thank you, Lucy.
Thank you so much.
Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
A Tom and Ollie content warning.
Yeah, baby.
Tom and Ollie's Naughty After 9.
Oh, so good chatting to Lucy Thomas. Make sure you send that text message, Are You Okay, to your mates. Hey, we're joined by Nick Cody. Hey, Nick Cody.
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing much, mate. Hey, just before we get into this crazy story about the Beatles, you yourself were saying that you've been to a psych and reached out for help.
Yeah, psychologist. It was great. I've got a baby on the way anyway, any day now.
Yeah.
And my wife and I spoke about it before we were trying to have kids. She just said, you know, I live a bit of a nuts life, and I said, yeah, I'll go talk to someone about some issues before the kid comes along, and it's a game changer.
It's so good, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've been to a psych as well. And
I call it brain gym. If you're having a problem as a bloke going to chat to someone, I just go, I'm off to the brain gym, just lifting these thoughts. Good. You know what I mean? There's no point deadlifting a huge amount if a bit of anxiety rolls you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's
what are you going to use more?
Totally.
You know?
And it is. It's like that. And like we all go to the doctor if we're sick, and or if we're just feeling unwell, why, go to the brain doctor. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
That's why they're there. That's why we have them.
Yeah.
So,
and
please.
The best bit is you can tell them whatever and they don't give a shit. Man, it's great. Like, if you told somebody to like family or friend, they'd be like, oh, he's everything. But professional psychologist is like, oh, okay. Well, why don't you look at it this way? And you're like, that's what I need.
Yeah.
A robot.
So seek help if you need it.
Yeah.
But up next.
Or talk to Google Home.
What's wrong with me, Google?
Nick Cody, you have found an incredible story about the Beatles.
Mm. Oh, juicy stuff.
Filthy.
It involves some Beatles having some Beatles.
Can we just put the word out now? If you're an older person who has a fond memory of your proudest sexual experience.
Okay, like how? What old? What
so
are you talking
about?
So
I think over 65s.
Yeah.
I'm 1-3-3-5-3. We're going to share Paul McCartney's story, but also you can share your sexiest memory.
Okay, so over 65s, 1-3-3-5-3, get involved. What's your sexiest memory? We want you on the phone and we'll hear about this story from Nick Cody up next. This is Wasting My Time, Default, Triple M's Tom and Ollie. We have questions. Wasting My Time. Default, that's the name of the song. Triple M's Tom and Ollie, we have questions. And after 9 o'clock, I have to play this thing.
A Tom and Ollie content warning.
Yeah, baby.
Tom and Ollie's Naughty After Nine.
Hey, we do have questions. So jump on the phone if you're over, I'm going to say over 60. I'm going to lower the age a bit. If you're over 60, we want you to share your sexiest memory. Nick Cody's in here. Thanks for dropping by, mate.
Thanks for having us.
Did you just have a gig tonight?
Is yeah.
That, and you just thought you'd drop in?
Mate, it's just nearby. My wife's about to have a baby any day, so like she's in bed already. I'm like, just.
Are you over 60?
What are some old people's hot memories? Let's hang out with the boys.
Well, this all came from a ridiculous story from Paul McCartney, who shared it on GQ magazine. Do you want to tell us what Paul shared about his heyday?
This is amazing.
Yeah, so in GQ magazine, it said the bandmates' very literal take on Come Together took place in their pre-fame years at Lennon's house. He said,
good song.
McCartney said, instead of just getting roaring drunk and partying, I don't know, we're all just in these chairs and the lights wore out and somebody started masturbating. So we all did. And
not this bit.
Over me. What are the odds? Who did that? Come
what are
on,
the
mate.
Odds I bring this story up on the exact night I was about to pitch this idea to you boys? What do you reckon, fellas? Come on!
Lads! Well, hang on. See, you just wanted six-year-olds to kill up with their sexiest memories no matter what?
Just boys were already in a circle, you know what I mean?
Oh, right. Okay. You want to jump into a circle?
So, I saw some bickies out there. Let's race.
No.
Lads, sorry.
Those are lovely Coles biscuits for $3. You get six
of them. No, don't mention Coles, mate. Never mention a brand when you're talking about that kind of thing.
The lights are staying on in this room, Nick. Look, for now, but happy to reminisce on the old days. You know, I think when you're a teenager, and particularly if you're Paul McCartney, but I think anyone who's getting a bit silly, kids do weird stuff. I think you explore a little bit.
It's that first thing. I remember the first time we went to a mate's place and he had a porno video.
Yep.
And it's just five teenagers with pillows over their dicks watching a TV. What do you think? Nah, nothing. I don't even care. You know?
But there's always one guy who's the most happy to. Oh, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the bathroom. Yeah, me too. Right, yeah, me.
Tom, did you do that, or were you like, guys, stay in the lounge room together?
I remember the shift in high school. I think it was year eight, where it went from, oh, you wank. Oh, no,
no,
you're a wanker. To like, man, I did so many wanks yesterday.
Yeah.
I remember sharing a website called jackinworld.com.
Oh, Tom.
That is literally a website that has a lot of different techniques.
Oh, wow.
That you can try. And we used to go try the ice bath one last night, which was where you...
Was that the first ice bucket challenge?
Yeah, it was. But it involved the Jats crackers.
Oh, yeah.
Right at the point of no return.
Oh.
You dunk that.
In ice.
In ice. And apparently it would result in the best thing ever.
Did you say last night? You said last night.
Last night, huh?
You said last night.
Last night? What are you talking about?
Would result in you getting kicked out of the barbecue. Yeah. Just putting it in the esky in the back.
It gets better.
You know what's weird, though? No six-year-olds have called for their sexiest memories. 133353.
Well, maybe this will inspire them. Okay. Paul McCartney also went on. He was speaking about a time when they were in Vegas.
Oh, this is amazing.
The band was in Vegas, and one of their managers said to them, do you guys want to have a hooker? And Paul McCartney.
Sex worker, thank you very much on this show.
I'm just quoting.
Yeah, okay. Quoting Sir Paul McCartney.
John Lennon got one and some of the other guys did. And Paul McCartney said, I'll have two. That's the kind of badass he was.
But how English is that he thinks that's outrageous? Like, he could have 1,000. He's in the Beatles.
Yeah. He's just gone two. Very modest.
Like, I'll have two. And they're like, look out, loose unit. McCartney's on a tear.
A cup of tea as well, thank you.
Well, all of us could organise two now. What's the Beatle doing?
You got a kid in the way, don't you? Let's round it in.
133353. Hey, anyone, just share your sexiest memory. No one's on the phone at the moment, so give us a call.
Come on, 60-year-olds.
133353, get involved. Blink182, Tom and Ollie, Triple M. Nick Cody's in here. We have questions. All the small things. Ollie's song. Blink182, Triple M's Tom and Ollie. We have questions.
A Tom and Ollie content warning.
Yeah, baby.
Tom and Ollie's Naughty After 9.
It's not even a good gag. Nick Cody's hanging in here.
Hi, hey, mate. Hey.
How you doing?
Feedback coming in, guys, on Twitter. Sorry, Nick. Bruce tweeted at Tom and Ollie and Nick Cody.
Yeah.
A-grade creeps. You both need a root.
Who's that? Me?
I don't know. Yeah. I think it means you two.
Nah, it'd be Nick.
Oh, but then he said, nah, funny stuff, though.
Oh, good on
you. Good on you. Thanks, Bruce.
That's all right.
Awesome stuff. Hey, we're talking about this Paul McCartney, this Beatles story about how Paul McCartney was saying that the Beatles used to go into a dark room and literally...
beat.
Yeah.
Tom, you say that they used to, like it was a regular...
Yeah, didn't they do it a couple of times?
He said once or twice.
My favourite bit, too, McCartney also ratted out... George Harrison, when he lost his virginity, saying they were all staying in a bunk room in Hamburg, Germany, obviously to backpackers killing the game. And 17-year-old George Harrison lost his virginity when the bandmates sharing this room. And McCartney said, I think it's true. I know we had one bed and two sets of bunks. And if one of the guys brought a girl back, they could just be in their bed with a blanket over them.
And he said he cheered. He came in and applauded after it happened as well, which is a lovely treat.
Man, you imagine being in the Beatles.
Hang on, no, but this is what he said. He said they could just be in the bed with a blanket over them and you wouldn't really notice much except a little bit of movement. I don't know whether that was George losing his virginity. So he's almost saying, they were just like fondling.
Yeah.
Just moving around.
Can you imagine being in the Beatles and you're bragging? One of your bragging stories is about one of your friends getting a root at a backpacker's. Jesus Christ. This could be the most boring band stories I've ever heard.
Some of these stories from Paul.
That's true, actually.
The most amazing thing is, what are the stories we don't know from these guys?
Yeah.
Because one of them was apparently John Lennon went home with a couple and just had sex with the wife and the husband watched.
Ah, cuckolding.
Bit of cuckolding.
Mm.
So imagine what else is going on that you don't know about.
133353. What we want is let's say 50 plus.
We'll keep lowering the age.
Share your sexiest memory. Share it with Nick Cody. He wants to hear
that. I want to hear it.
He's a thirsty piggy. Hey, Steve.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good, mate. What is your sexiest memory as you are 50? Aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
Mate, you've just scraped in. Well done.
50 plus.
I actually slept with my then girlfriend's mother before I'd even slept with my girlfriend.
Oh, sweet Lord.
Wow. My God.
How old was the mum?
The mum was early 40s.
Wow. Oh. And you were what, about 20?
About 20, 21.
Oh.
Surely.
This was before the term MILF had been invented, but that's exactly what she was.
Wow, okay.
So,
Did this ever come up at some point with you and the girlfriend?
It came up at a wedding about 5 years.
At yours?
5 or 6
the
years
speech.
Later. No. It came up at a wedding about 5 or 6 years later when my then wife was getting the shits with me staring at the two cute blondes because I was trying to figure out, oh my God, is that
you weren't even sure
so-and-so and so-and-so. Yeah, I wasn't sure because I don't see them behind. Then when they turned around, I just went, hey, that's them. And then all of a sudden my missus looks at me smiling at these two. One of them looks across at me.
Oh, no.
And they were looking when I wasn't looking, and I was looking when they weren't looking. And then,
man, I'm trying to figure this out in my head, this picture you've drawn.
My missus is busting all of this, but like, I think she's not noticing, but when I'm not looking, they're looking at me, and then all of a sudden one of them just gets up, comes over and gives me this massive hug in front of my then wife.
So there was no bad blood between the two, mum and daughter?
No, they didn't find out till there and then in front of my ex-wife.
What happened? What happened? What happened?
How did it come out?
It came out because what happened was I was meant to go out with the daughter. Let's just call her Tina for argument's sake. And it got postponed, so I was meant to meet some mates in town. They were running late.
I mean, come on, mate. We ask you what happened when you told the girlfriend and the mum when they found out what happened in front of you. Come on. Come on, Steve.
I dropped the bomb. Because my ex-wife is looking at the two of them going, this was Tina. We used to go out.
Still so hot though, isn't it? I'm sorry to say, but it's super hot.
Yeah, but it's not okay. You can't sleep with your girlfriend's mum.
Why not?
Without her knowing.
Why
because
not?
It's cheating.
Oh, it's cheating. Yeah, true.
Oh, God.
It's called running the family tree.
Look, 133353.
Tarzaning it.
Okay, let's go 40 plus now. 40 plus. Share your sexiest memory. Nick Cody wants to know because he's a thirsty piggy. This is new Paul Kelly with Triple M's Tom and Ollie. It's new Paul Kelly. It's called With the One I Love off his upcoming album, Nature. I think it drops about October 12, which I'm really looking forward to, especially since last year it was his first ever platinum album. Is that right?
That's what you said.
Yeah.
First ever ARIA number one.
ARIA number one.
You said.
Yeah. Which is two different things.
Yeah, different.
Very different.
Look, never look up stats. Just try and reel off whatever's in the top of your head.
A Tom and Ollie content warning.
Yeah, baby.
Tom and Ollie's Naughty After Nine.
Look, it is Triple M's Tom and Ollie. We have questions, and Nick Cody's in here. He's a thirsty piggy because he's asked, are you over 30 and you want to share your sexiest memory?
30, is it now?
Yeah.
30.
Yeah,
I was over 20.
No. Well, don't worry, Nick Cody. This is all because the Beatles sat in a room and...
Beatles.
Yeah.
Good, yes. Graham, 62, he's on the line. Graham, you've got a sexy memory you want to share.
Yeah, hi, guys. Love the show.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah, I was in my early 20s, and a girl I worked with who was in her late 20s, early 30s. We went out for drinks. From there, we went down to Tamarama Beach, christened one of the picnic tables down there.
Oh, wow.
Went back to her place, and she had two flatmates who were both nurses.
Oh, no.
Yeah, man, they're sensational.
Oh.
What nurses don't know isn't worth doing.
Is the word what?
If you don't have a nurse in your life, you haven't lived.
Oh, Ollie's mum's a nurse.
got a phone number?
Oh, no. Thirsty piggy Graham.
She gave me a butt plug once. So that was interesting.
Okay, you need to explain that story, mate.
What? She just gave it to me.
On the radio, didn't she?
Yeah, it was on the radio. Graham, that is some saucy stuff. When you went home, were you pretty baffled that the girls just got involved?
Yeah, I mean, as a 20-year-old, it was pretty much straight up, short, sharp, and shiny. But with the three of them, I went home with a whole new outlook on life.
Yeah, sorry, I shouldn't be sexist. I should clarify, were they male nurses or female nurses?
Oh, female.
Female, yeah, okay.
Yeah, female nurses. Absolutely fantastic. But the things they got up to, and who needed Viagra? Viagra hadn't been invented 20 years ago.
Well, mate, if you need 20, that mate, then, that's not for you.
You know what I mean? If that's, how about these days, Graham? Ever use it?
You're in the wrong league.
Oh, golly. Thank you very much.
Never tried it. Whenever I think I might need a bit of Viagra, I go out and find two nurses.
Okay, like it's happened again,
that's
mate.
That's a lie.
Okay, well done. Thanks, Graham. Thank
I love
you very
that
much.
He said christen the picnic table like it was a thing the council asked him to do. Yeah. Like to welcome Graham down to the new picnic barbecue area here at Tamarama Beach to christen the picnic table.
He's going to cut the ribbon and then intercourse on the table.
Thanks, guys. As in Nick Cody and Ollie, thank you for coming in.
Oh, thanks, Tom.
No worries.
Thanks, everyone.
Cheers, lads.
Let's see you next week.
Have a great weekend.
That was Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Catch up on the show by downloading the Triple M app. And if you like it, share it with your mates. For more Tom and Ollie, hit the boys up on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Tom and Ollie.